Robot Building Supplies, helping you get the right products for the job at a better price. Summit Internet, business internet from just $99 a month. Now available in Sunshine and right across Melbourne and Geelong.
Afternoons on SEN.
Yes, it is, and great to have your company on a Thursday as well. Sam Edmund with you up until 3 o'clock before handing over to Robert and Andrew. Hey, the Sports Minister of Victoria, Martin Pakula, is obviously a listener of SEN. We know he's a big friend of the station, but I reckon Brendan Julian was as strong as we've heard anyone on the Will Pekowski debate when it comes to the opening partnership. Well, obviously, he or Joe Burns to pair with David Warner come the first test against India. If you missed it, Brendan Julian saying he thought Will Pekowski had earned the right because Joe Burns has been horrible. His form in Sheffield Shield cricket is not good. I think we're forced to put in Pekowski. Well, Martin Pakula tweeting moments ago, Brendan Julian with the heretical proposition that we should select informed players for the test team rather than rely on the flexible chemistry concept or the he did well a year ago argument. Be like Brendan. There you go, Martin Pakula there with his say on the matter as well. It's going to be, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't, to be honest, the Aussie selectors. But someone's getting in to partner David Warner as well. Let's talk some more footy, shall we? Because the Sydney Swans are always a fascinating watch under the coach John Longmire there. They've had a pretty busy off-season and it's still going at the moment. And their head of football is Charlie Gardner. He's been good enough to join us. How you doing up there, Charlie?
I'm well, Sam. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for being on. Well, I want to actually to start with Colin O'Riordan because this was just such a great story. I think we're all struck by this. He played Gaelic football. You allowed him to play Gaelic football, and we saw how emotional it was for Colin to play in this for Tipperary, and they won the title, I think the first title since 1935. And he praised Sydney endlessly in his interview after the game. He was highly emotional, as I say. Can you take us through the decision to let one of your listed players play in another sport on the other side of the world?
Yeah, look, it was an interesting one. Colin was obviously flown home for the break to reunite with family and his partner. And the timing of this season, the Gaelic football season over there, has been delayed. So the finals are occurring later in the year, which coincided with Colin being at home. And I think there are other AFL players who have returned home and have played for their local counties as well. Mm. The Irish boys are very passionate and proud about their national game. And we've known that, we've always known that with Colin, and he's openly shared his passion for the game with the club and people at the club. The uniqueness of this year just presented the opportunity for him to appear with Tipperary, his county, who have made it through to the final eight, and I think now through to the final four of the All Ireland. So, it was one of those ones where we had a mature and sensible discussion about can he play, and we just thought, this was a once in a generation opportunity for him, really. It's a historic occasion, and it meant so much to him and his family and his community that it would have been hard for us to step in the way of that. So we worked through with the AFL and got some permissions for him to do it, and I think it's the right outcome, and we're really pleased that we could support Cole to do what he's done, and we're pretty proud of what he's achieved. I think I haven't actually seen the game, but from all reports, he was pretty handy and one of the better players on the field, and they had a terrific win.
Nah, kudos for doing it. I mean, there's always that risk there, of course, you can't help that, but the good will come back the other way. I mean, you've got that player for life now, obviously, so that was a magnificent gesture from the club. Hey, the off-season, Charlie, 8 delistings and the trade of Alia, of course. Just take us through some of these. I guess the decision to delist Robbie Fox was one that probably surprised Swans fans the most. Can you put some context around that one for us?
Yeah, I can. Look, Robbie had a breakout year almost, you would say, with the team. He played 14 games in the end and was pretty consistent for us. The challenge this year is just the squeeze on for list spots. Mm. And You've got to weigh up a whole lot of things around your list needs and your priorities when you're making calls. We're actually very keen to re-rookie Robbie and have committed to doing that with him. Unfortunately, we weren't aware of a late rule change the AFL made to now allow players to be directly transferred from a primary list onto a rookie list. That was, you know, our intention, but we weren't aware of the late rule change. So had we known that, you know, the messaging would have been different in relation to Robbie. But, yeah, we're certainly hopeful that he can continue the development and the progress he made last season with us next season.
Right, OK, so that's good news. And obviously, you are committed because he's contracted for next year with Sam Gray as well. So I imagine he'd be rookie listed as well?
Yeah, so Sam is contracted and, yeah, we're committed to taking him as a rookie as well. Robbie's out of contract, so we do need to come to terms, but we're hopeful that we can do that and he can continue his career with us next season.
So that rule tweak, if you like, that was announced on Tuesday night to clubs is obviously you're allowed now to move two players straight from your senior list to your rookie list. How was that communicated, almost as a bit of an acceptance, if you like, from the league that we know this is difficult with the list size determination coming quite late and also salary cap as well? It's a small way that they can help the clubs out.
Yeah, I think it just provides us with a bit more flexibility. I think it's a better result for players as well. Ideally, we would have avoided the need to message that a player's been delisted. The rules still require the player to be delisted and to take up delisted free agency status and to be able to exercise those rights. But if they're not exercised, then to directly list them as a rookie as opposed to going through the rookie draft. I think it's just a function of the squeeze that's on for list spots and clubs having to be a bit creative about how we put our list together and squads together. And this is one lever we've got to pull to ensure that we can still bring in new talent through the draft, but also retain players that we want to continue with.
Well, some clubs have been very creative. I mean, Eddie Betts has just been placed on the rookie list. So do we look at your club and just wait for the announcement that Buddy Franklin's going to be rookie listed for next year?
I don't think we'll see him on the rookie list then.
Well, I want to take some money off the bottom line. Might be a nice little lever for you to pull, as you say. No, I jest, of course. But have you got more to play in that area? Have you got your six category rookies? Or will there be some action amongst the delisted player agency pool from Sydney, or will your focus be all in on the draft now?
So we're focusing on the draft and the rookie draft. So we will look at picking up some talent that's available in the rookie draft, and we'll just have to wait and see who is available after the delisted free agent period. Yeah, that will be our focus over the next couple of weeks. The rookie draft follows the national draft on the 9th of December. So, yeah, we'll be looking to add some talent through both the national draft and the rookie draft.
How hard did you fight to keep Alir at the club, Charlie?
Look, we would have loved to have kept Alir. He's a quality talent and has played some really good footy for us as a key defender, but also in the ruck. We would have loved to have kept him. The reality is he came to us requesting a trade to Port Adelaide, who had put what I understand to be a pretty compelling offer to him. We have to weigh all of those things up with our other priorities balance. We had a need to bring in a ruckman, which has been well documented, which we did. Weighing all those things up, we made a call, and the compensation that was coming back and what that meant, we felt it was the right call to agree to the trade because it, balancing it all up, it worked for us. That's how that all came about. Had we different needs, we might have been able to retain him, but that was the call we made in the end.
Are we right, Charlie, to continue to link Paddy McCartan to the club as a potential recruit?
Look, we're certainly considering him. He's an option. We're a long way, though, from making a decision on that right now. He's just one of a number of players that we're looking at as a key position, key forward option. But whether we do or not, it's still to be determined. So there's certainly no commitment from the Swans at this stage in relation to Paddy.
So as you look at, I know you'd be reluctant to go into too much detail here, but as you look at the delisted free agency pool, is there a type of player in that group that you mentioned? Is it only a key forward body like Paddy McCartan, or is it something that you look at in terms of, that player is just too good to not be on an AFL list, or is there a real needs-based focus on that group?
Oh, it's a bit of both. Sam, you've got to address needs, and we would like, we'll certainly look at, key forward options that are available. But if there's good talent out there, I always come back to the philosophy that you want the best available talent. So that comes into it as well.
You got a new apparel sponsor for the club for next year as well. You've got just a small company in Nike coming on board. So great deal for the club there.
Yeah, it's a really exciting announcement. We're really thrilled to have a brand like Nike. Their apparel is excellent. I know all of our players and people associated with the club are really really excited about the partnership. So that was announced today, and you'll see the big swoosh on all our kit going forward, which is great.
I like it. And we were speaking to Justin Reeves at Hawthorn. Obviously, they're up to their neck in the Dingley development as well at the moment. You've got your own big project on the books at the moment at the Royal Hall of Industries at Moore Park. Now, I know it was put on hold, wasn't it, due to COVID? I mean, can you shed some more light on where that might be at, that development at the moment?
Yeah, we did have to sort of press pause on that project through the challenges presented by COVID. I know Tom Harley, CEO at the Swans, is working hard to revisit that project, and we're hopeful that we can reboot it and reignite it and get it underway. It would be a terrific outcome for the club if we could deliver and secure a new facility. It's something the club's been working on for a long time, and overdue, I think, in the Sydney market. We'd love to put a real stake in the ground here in Moore Park, and hopefully we can bring that to fruition. I'm not sure exactly where it sits at the moment, but I know a lot of work is being done in the background to hopefully bring it back online, and hopefully 18 months, 24 months time, we can have a new facility.
Speaking to Swans General Manager of Football, Charlie Garner, just quickly before we let you go, Charlie, a couple of other players. I didn't mention Tom Mickey before, of course, comes in from West Coast. I imagine he's getting himself settled at the moment, but in terms of the 2021 lineup, can you see yourself playing two rucks, or is he essentially being brought in as more of a ruck relief sort of role?
No, I can certainly see us playing two rucks at some stage. It may depend on opponents, and how the games play out next season, which quarter length still to be finalised. But I can see Tom and Cal Sinclair working well in tandem. Cal has shown the ability to go forward in the past and hit the scoreboard. So Tom's arrival probably allows that to happen a bit more. Sam Naismith, who suffered his second ACL last season, is actually progressing really well in his recovery. So, it'd be great if we could have all three of them up and going towards the back end of the season, and it gives us some real options in that ruck role and perhaps stretching some opposition defence with sending them forward.
And speaking of progress, I imagine it's still full steam ahead for Lance, even though he won't be put on the rookie list, but Lance Franklin's looking good.
He's training hard and doing all his strengthening work, which is really the focus at the moment. He's not yet doing any meaningful running, but hopefully that ramps up in the next few weeks. And so far so good. It'd certainly be great to have him up and going early in the new year.
Beautifully done, Charlie. And Swans fans listening, by the way, as we speak, can check out the Sydney Swans new Nike range at sydneyswans.com.au, of course. Charlie, thanks for being so generous with your time. As always, pleasure to talk to you, and enjoy the run-up to the draft.
Thanks, Sam. Good to talk to you.
Charlie Gardner there, the Sydney Swans General Manager of Football.